Let's take our Bible and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians. Verse number 1. Ephesians chapter 6. This morning, I would ask you, as we read the scripture and pray, that you would pray for me. This particular subject, I do not approach it lightly, okay? And I want to make that clear kind of from the outset that I'm aware of the sensitivity of this subject, and I want to speak in that spirit. But I would ask that you would pray for me, that the Lord would help me to say everything I'd like to say in the right way. So let's read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. The Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Let's pray. Father, we are thankful that you allow us to call you Father. It's not just words we say, but we truly have a relationship with you as our Father. You are not just our God. You're not just our Lord or our Savior. You are our Father, and you call us your children, and we thank you for that. And Lord, we acknowledge that you are a good Father to us. In every way, you instruct us in the ways of righteousness. In every way, you correct us. You discipline us. You are a perfect Father to us, Lord, and we know that we are not always obedient to you, and yet you're patient and kind. And so, Lord, as we look at these scriptures today and address this topic, I do ask you, Lord, for your grace and your help to address this in the way that you would be pleased, because that's really all that matters. Help us to see the truths of scripture plainly. Lord, please be our teacher. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You know, of all the things in the Bible, any passage of Scripture that you might go to where you will find what a parent or what parents should, what kinds of things a parent should use to instruct their children. There's a number of passages you could go to. We're going to look at several this morning. But of all the passages, first of all, there aren't that many places in the Bible where the Lord tells a parent what he is supposed to teach, she is supposed to teach her children, their children. There's just a handful of them. And of course, you might automatically, your mind might go to Proverbs, and we will look at Proverbs in just a minute. But even in Proverbs, you have a lot of instructions on different subjects, but it all kind of orbits a central truth, right? When you're talking about a father to a child or a mother to a child. And even in this verse, Ephesians 6, verse 4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." This, of course, does not exclude mothers. And the story of Timothy proves that, because Timothy had most likely a father who was an unbeliever, but he had a mother and a grandmother. But the word father is used here to describe, you know, his role as the leader in this matter. And of course, the mother, as significant as the father in the rearing of the children. But as a matter of principle here, you have the fathers being addressed, because the fathers are ultimately, and the buck stops with them, with what, how the children are taught and trained and brought up. But both of them are obviously involved, and that's seen throughout Proverbs. So, but this is, if you look at all the passages of Scripture that deal with what we're supposed to teach our and instruct, how we are supposed to instruct our children, it comes back to the central point of verse number 4, which is this: bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There are many, many things that we should instruct our kids about, right? You should instruct your kids on issues that deal with money, right? You should instruct your children on issues that deal with relationships and romance and social things, right? About their job and about, you could just go on and on and on. Pretty much anything there is to learn, a parent should be a source of information for their children, right? Anything there is to learn, that ought to be, and just take that right there as a point of evaluation and say, do I have a relationship with my children such that literally anything under the sun, they trust me and have confidence in me, in my life, in my answers, such that they instinctively turn to me as their parent when they have a question? Because whenever you have a child who turns to another source of information first, you've got a problem. That's the beginnings of a problem. It's the beginnings of a problem. Because as we saw on Wednesday night, Brother Joseph quoted Psalm 1, as we saw, the worldly counselors are abundant. They are out there. They are ready to give their advice, right? Our children should instinctively turn to their parents. And if we maintain a kind of relationship that is pleasing to the Lord, then we will have you'll understand why I say it like this in just a minute, but we'll have the best chance of having that kind of relationship with our child so that they do instinctively turn to us. Now, I want to read something to you. This was spoken on July 16th, 2024, and this is why this subject's on my mind. A lady named Ann Fundner, she gave a speech at the Republican National Convention. Some of you might have listened to it. And the subject of her speech was about her son named Weston. And this is what she said. My Weston was 15. He was an amazing big brother to his three younger siblings. Weston attended church twice a week, played football and hockey, and he loved to surf. He had a big heart, and he lived to make people laugh. He had so many good friends. And I was always vigilant to be the best mother I could be. As room mom, school ambassador. And I attended all of his sports. We had family dinners and barbecues at the beach. And like most teenagers, Weston wanted to fit in. And in a moment of peer pressure, he tried something that someone gave to him, and it took my baby's life. She says, emphatically, we did everything right. I had those conversations with him, and fentanyl still found my son. And on February 27, 2022, our lives were shattered, and our baby was gone. Now, I read that with the knowledge that my family has had this kind of pain, not directly, but I have a first cousin. Some of you even might remember when my first cousin Bradley died as a result of some pills. This would have been 2002-ish, probably. So over 20 years ago now. And so I know, at least in that way, I know what it's like to get a call and know that, drugs have done it to a person. And I want to say from the outset, there are many influences in a child's life. And as a child grows older, there are many influences that come into the child's life that the parents have no control over, right? Especially as a child becomes an adult and moves out on their own, which it has to happen. Like, you can't keep them locked up. It has to happen. There has to come a day when everything we've been trying to teach them is put to the test, okay? That just happens. And the reality is, and this is just real life, that those influences sometimes negatively affect children, even when we try to do everything right. And if I have a proof text, I don't have to go any further than this. David and Solomon. As far as we know, David was a good, and you'll see in a minute, he was a good father and taught his son Solomon in the ways of God. And Solomon walked in the ways of God, but in the end, his finish was not good, right? Because influences came into Solomon's life that David had no control over later. So when I read this, I don't want to give the impression, well, if you teach your kids about the Lord, then this is not going to happen to them, because it is just not that simple in real life. And for that reason, every parent in here ought to have a sense of fear and trembling. And really, you know, after we've done everything, someone recently quoted the verse, and it can be applied in many ways, that says, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. So after we've done everything we can possibly do for our children, we still must fear and tremble and take the matter to God and say, God, please, please protect them. Because there is no guarantee, okay? There's no guarantee, because you're dealing with human beings and you're dealing with a satanic effort that is seeking to destroy them. So when I listen to this lady, I'm cognizant that people have had this kind of experience in their life and have lost children as a result of things like this, even when they try to do the best they could. So this is real life. But nevertheless, I feel obligated and duty bound to point out something that did stand out in this speech. Twice in the speech, this lady said, in some form or another, we did everything right. I didn't say that. She said that. She said, I was always vigilant to be the best mother I could be. She said, we did everything right. And when she said that, she paused and said it slower than the rest of her speech when I listened to it. Now, I can't say that. I have not always done everything right. I know that. That much I know. I have not always done everything right. I have not always been vigilant with my children. So I have messed up, and thank the Lord that God has grace. But so that's the first thing. I can't say that. But as you listen to her speech, there was one glaring omission. She said, he had so many good friends. She was a room mom at the school. She was a school ambassador, attended all of his sports. They had family dinners. They had barbecues at the beach. They had talks with him about drugs. But the one thing, again, she says, I did everything right. The one thing that's not mentioned is the most important thing. You know what it is? It is the Lord. He is absent. That's what I noticed when I heard that. So what I did is how many of you have used ChatGPT before? A couple of hands, mostly under 30, at or under 30. ChatGPT, what it does is, I know it's AI and all that, and it aggregates the things on the internet and kind of boils it down to one answer that to whatever thing you ask it, right? So it kind of gives you the, for good or for bad, it gives you kind of a summary of the internet's wisdom. And that might not be wisdom at all. You know, a lot of times it's not. But so what I did is I put in this question: how am I to be a good parent? Listen to the answer. Love and affection. Show your child love and affection regularly. This builds their self-esteem and sense of security. Number two, consistent discipline. Set clear rules and enforce them consistently. Discipline should be fair and aimed at teaching rather than punishing. I'm just reading, okay? This is not an endorsement. Or you'll see why in just a minute. Number three, quality time. That's a big thing. You know, through the 90s, it's all quality time, quality time. Spend quality time with your child. Engage in activities they enjoy and be present in the moment. Open communication. Encourage open and honest communication. Listen to your child's thoughts and feelings without judgment. We can imagine what fits into that sentence. Be a role model. Exhibit behaviors and attitudes that you want your child to adopt. Children often learn by observing their parents. Encouragement and support. Support your child's interests and encourage them to pursue their passions. Praise their efforts and achievements. Teach responsibility. Give your child age-appropriate responsibilities to help them develop a sense of accountability and independence. Education and learning. Foster a love of learning by being involved in their education and providing opportunities for intellectual growth. Healthy lifestyle. Promote a healthy lifestyle by encouraging good nutrition, exercise, and adequate sleep. Number 10, emotional support. Be there for your child during tough times, offering empathy and guidance. Each child is unique, so adapt these principles to fit your child's personality and needs. So how many of you would say from that, which is, again, an aggregation of the combined wisdom of the internet, okay? How many of you would say, I agree with some of the things in that list? And some of you are like, I'm not going to agree. I don't know about that. I would say I agree with some things in this list. Should you spend time with your kids? Okay, great. Okay, should you discipline your kids? Okay, so we're all in agreement basically here, right? What is not there? Not a word about the Lord. Not a single syllable. Let me explain something to you. There is a philosophy to parenting that in every point sounds right and good, but it has been totally sanitized from God. It has been completely detached from the Lord. And it involves, and this is why that sounds so familiar. Some of you that are my age, a little bit older, a little bit younger, you came up in the 80s and then the 90s, early 2000s, and you heard parenting advice about quality time and encouraging and support and go to their activities and do all. It's essentially what this lady who gave this speech, it's essentially she articulated that view. We did everything right. And ChatGPT also articulated that view of if you do all of these things, you are doing everything right. But the one glaring omission, and this is the whole point, right? And we're looking at a verse in just a minute. This is the whole point. The most important and essential element of bringing your children up is missing. And that is God Himself. God Himself. This world's philosophy of parenting, many of which often comes from a desire and motives that are pure, the well-being of their children, right? And nobody's arguing that they're trying to get their kids to perform human sacrifice or you know some gross sin or something like that, although that does happen on occasion. But generally speaking, it is natural for parents to want the best for their children, right? In every way. And so, but this is the philosophy. This is how you do it. And what I want to show you is, notwithstanding any verses in the Bible, this is not what the Lord says. In fact, you will be hard-pressed to find many of those things anywhere in the Bible as it relates to parents giving guidance to children. It's just not there. The one exception might be some verses in Proverbs, but we'll see those in just a minute. If you would, go with me to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis 18, verse number 17. The Lord is about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and all the plain there. And of course, Abraham is in a special covenantal relationship with God. And so Abraham is revealing things. God is revealing things to Abraham that he's not revealing to everyone else. Look at verse 17. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." There's Jesus right there. He's right there. All right. Look at the next verse. Listen to what God says of Abraham. "For I know him, that he will command his children." There's nothing in the world wrong with that. "He will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment." You see, modern parenting philosophy says this: he shall keep the right way to do justice and judgment, and just kind of cuts out God from the equation altogether. That's what it does. What the Lord is saying is the primary and essential and indispensable principle in raising our children is the Lord. That is it. That is it. He said, and this is exactly what Abraham did, "that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." The main thrust in this verse, at least one of the main thrusts in this verse, is what Abraham does. Abraham, his responsibility before God toward his children. That's what this verse is talking about. God says, "I know what Abraham will do. He will command his children to keep the way of the Lord." That is the primary responsibility of a parent. And so what Abraham would command his children, note it, because you're going to see it again and again. Note what Abraham would command his children. It is all in reference to God, because this is the most significant, the most important area. So you know what? If Abraham had any kind of reluctance or shyness about teaching his family, his children, about the Lord, he had to get over it. Because this is what the Lord noted. Of all the things Abraham might have taught his children, this is what God pointed out. And Abraham himself, we know, as an example of faith, was a man motivated and driven by his personal faith in God as an example to his children. Look at Deuteronomy, if you would, chapter 4. Verse number 9. This is the Lord speaking through Moses. Listen to what he says in verse number 9. This is a famous passage. Listen to what it says. The Lord speaking to Israel now: "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons." You see this? "Teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." Okay, stop one second. So here at the end of verse 9, the Lord says, "Teach all the things you have seen." What is he talking about? He's talking about Mount Sinai, the commandments of God, all the miracles that God did, the works of the Lord, the word of God. That is those things that the parent is to teach. You see that? But before we can get to the teaching of the sons and the sons' sons, he says in verse number 9 at the top, take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. Here's the principle. You and I cannot teach our kids the way of God if we ourselves are not in the way of God. And teaching our children the way of God is our first and most important responsibility. Not social graces, not courtesies, not money, not trade, none of those things, although they might all be fine, the primary thing is the way of God. You see this? He says this, verse 10, especially. So the Lord says, you're going to teach them a lot of things, okay? But here's what you need to focus on. This is the most important, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb. That's Mount Sinai. When the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. You see that? Teach their children. Who is teaching the children? Let me ask you this. Who is teaching the children? The parents. So let me ask you this. Who bears the responsibility, the primary responsibility for instructing your children about the ways of God? What's the answer? It's the parents. You bear that responsibility. It is on you. It is on you. What is the priority of all the things you teach them? What is the priority? The priority is, look what it says, God's word, God's ways. You could just say in a nutshell, God himself. Not this worldly sanitized version of parenting where we talk about all the good things and morality and all these things and you know, making sure you do your hygiene right and all. And listen, I like all that stuff, but all of that is behind in line. All of that is in the back. The first thing is God himself, his ways, his words, his will. That is the parent's responsibility. It is nobody else's. Let me make something perfectly clear. It is not my responsibility to teach your children primarily. It's yours. It is not the Sunday school teacher's responsibility to teach your children about the Lord. It is yours. It is not the VBS leader's job to teach your children about God. It is yours. It is not the Christian school's job. It is yours. It is mine. Listen. If we teach our kids about everything under the sun, from money to relationships to jobs to social graces and courtesies and culture, and if we teach them everything like that and we neglect the most important thing, we neglect the one thing that God calls out and says, this is what you need to be teaching them. Have we done what the Lord wanted us to do? I encourage you, Father and mother, to take a hold of that responsibility and take it seriously. Nobody said it would be easy. It might involve you and might involve me getting our hearts right. It might mean that we've got to have a moment ourselves when we get things right before God so that we can say without being a raw hypocrite to teach to our kids the way of God. You know, that's one reason why he tells us this. He the Lord lays the responsibility. He doesn't say, all right, if you're walking with God, then teach your children. No, he says, this is your job. You say, well, I'm not doing it. I don't follow the Lord all myself. You know what the Lord says? Get right. He doesn't say, oh, well, then forget it. No, he says, no, it's your job. And this is scary. Every one of us will give an account to God for that which we have responsibility for. Not for that which we do not have responsibility for, but for that which we do have responsibility for. And every one of us has that responsibility from God for our children. So one day the Lord's going to say to each one of us, we stand before him, he's going to say, did you or did you not tell your children about the way of God? Look at chapter 6, verse 4. The Bible says this. This is called the Shema. This is what it's called in Hebrew, the Shema. It's a famous prayer among the Jews. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Stop right there. That's the parent. See it? How do we know? Because of the next verse. What's the next verse say? Everybody look at that real quick. If you would. And thou shalt what? So the Lord's really talking to the parent, right? And he says to the parent, just like we just read, these things need to be in your heart, parent, right? Okay. Then thou shalt teach them. Thou shalt teach them diligently. So this is not going to be a one-time thing. When I'm talking about teaching them the ways of God, this is not, all right, kids, let's sit down and listen. And this happens in homes. I hope it's not happening to anybody in here. I don't have any reason to think it is, but this happens. You know, mom and dad are total hypocrites. They don't live for God. They don't love God. They don't follow God. And they want to sit down and tell their kids for 5 minutes about Jesus. And that is not what we're talking about. That is hypocrisy. This says diligently. You know, it's going to take 18 years or more for you to get this message into them. And that means it's going to be 18 years or more of our being an example and doing what the Lord says in verse 5 and verse 6 in us ourselves to be an example to our kids. This is not a one-time flash in the pan. I'm going to get this right. No, it's not. Pretty much nothing works like that. Nothing in life works like that. You got a sin problem? Come down to the altar. Lord, I'm sorry. Help me. If you think it's over then, you just stand by. That's not the way it works. And raising our children is the same way. He says, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house and when thou walkest by the way and when thou liest down and when thou risest up. You see, teaching our children, as you can see here, what the Lord is telling us, not about the ways of life. You should do that. Do it. But the Lord doesn't say anything about that. You know what he does say? Teach them the words of God, the ways of God. And it should be a way of life. You see, that's all it's describing. Here and there, what you're doing, it's integrated into every, it's woven into every part of your life. You know, when I went out to eat to a restaurant with the Falkenbergs on Thursday, yeah. And in Germany, there is no, homeschooling is outlawed. It's not allowed to homeschool. So that means all the kids have to be in public school, and whatever they teach is what the kids have to hear. So it's not allowed. And so I was talking about that with them. You see, this family cannot, I don't mean to call you out and, you know, and embarrass you or anything, but this family cannot rely on the Christian school to teach their kids. They can't. So, in other words, they're what we take as a benefit and a blessing, and that's all fine and good. They don't have that crutch, if you will. So I asked them, I said, well, how do you deal with that? And what Ms. Falkenberg says is, we teach them early. That's what she said. We start teaching them early. Taking that responsibility upon me to teach them the ways of God, that thing, okay? Look at verse number 20, same chapter, chapter 6, verse 20. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, and that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. You know what you see here? The traditions are not just about what our family was like, and you know, and that's all, you know, we come from the Irish, or we're, you know, we're of a French background, or, you know, Native American, whatever. You know, all that's fine and good, but what the Lord really wants us, the thing he's concentrating on, and the one thing he points out, is the spiritual history. Do your kids know your spiritual history? They should. They should. They should know what has brought their parent to where they are. They should know how God's works have been shown in your life, because that's part of you showing them the ways of God. Spiritual history should be a primary conversation in our home. Look at Proverbs, if you would. Proverbs chapter 2. Verse 1. Proverbs has a lot of instructions of a father to a child on many, many subjects. But it doesn't matter what subject you approach in Proverbs, what you'll find is that instruction of a father to his child is always in the context of the way of the Lord, the fear of God, of the person of God. You have to understand that. It's not just atheistic morality, as if there's a such thing, right? That's a contradiction in terms, but it's not this kind of maybe theistic morality. It's God's word, God's way, and downstream of that are all of the moral things that we might be interested in telling our kids, all right? Look at Proverbs 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear. Verse 3, I'm skipping, but just for time. If thou criest after knowledge. Verse 4, if thou seekest her. Verse 5, then what are you going to find? The father talking to the son. What are you going to find? Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. It's about God. It's about the Lord. We can look at chapter 3. Look at chapter 3, if you were, verse 1. I'll summarize it. Verse 1 says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Verse 5, you know these verses, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, right? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Honor the Lord with thy substance. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. For whom, all these verses that we love, right, that we've memorized in church, you know how they're spoken? They're in the context of a parent talking to their child. And what are all those verses about? The comforting verses about trusting in the Lord and leaning not on your own understanding, acknowledging him. Those are words of admonition from a parent to a child about walking with, trusting in, and obeying and honoring God. You see? Just a couple more and we'll be finished. Go back a little ways to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles. Chapter 28. David, in this passage, in this chapter, is giving a charge to Israel in the presence of his son Solomon, who will, of course, rise to power once David is gone. But notice what David says to Solomon. Verse 9. 28, verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. It's not Solomon, be a just king. Solomon, do right. Solomon, be holy. Solomon, be kind. All those things are fine and good, but that's not the priority. What does he say? Solomon, know God. You see that? It's not sanitized morality. It's God. Do we have such a relationship to God that we can teach our kids about him and his ways? It is our duty. Know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. You notice he didn't say anything about the way to rule. His primary concern was his relationship to God. Is that your primary concern for your children? Your grandchildren? Is that the most important priority? Nothing else comes close. And you know, that will affect a bunch of other things. But you can't focus on the secondary. You have to focus on the primary. And the secondary come after, come later, come from the primary. Does that make sense? Focus on this one thing. Isn't it good that the Lord only gave us just one real core thing to really look at? That does make it a lot easier. Look at the next chapter, 29, verse 19. Look at that. Here's another aspect. In this case, David's praying now. He's talking to God. He says this, verse number 18. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, thy statutes, and to do all these things and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. This is a father praying for his son. Parents praying for their children. As I said, a lot of influences come into a child's life. Some of those you can't control, and some of those you might be blindsided by. But you can pray for their relationship to God. Listen, God forbid that we should be in a place where we're teaching our kids everything but God. We're teaching them everything except the most important thing. God forbid. Listen, to do that is to fail. To raise your kids, and listen, we must examine our motives, our goals. I wrote down this, the responsibility, the priority, the goals, and then the measure of success. The responsibility is what? Parent, right? Nobody else has primary responsibility. You can't delegate this. It's non-delegatable. It's on us. So that means if you're going to obey the Lord, you're going to have to take this mantle and you're going to have to take this responsibility and take it seriously. Not teaching them right from wrong, but teaching them the ways of the Lord thy God, the Lord Jesus Christ. David said to Solomon, know the Lord thy God. How can you teach your kids to know the Lord thy God? You know how? There's only one way to know God. One way. The Lord Jesus Christ. You know, your kids ought to hear the gospel for the first time from you. And the second and the third and the hundredth and the thousandth time from you. And sometimes, you know, when the Lord calls those kids and they respond to the gospel, sometimes it's in different circumstances, not necessarily with the parent. And that's fine. But you ought to be the first person sowing the seed in your kid's heart regarding the gospel. That's like saying, child, my son, my daughter, know the God of thy father. Know the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in him. Know God, serve God, seek God. So we have the responsibility. The priority is not to teach them many other social things and habits and hygiene and friends and money and goals and marriage partners and kindness and all those things that are all good and fine. The priority is the ways of God. That is the number one priority. The goals, what are our goals for our kids? Is our primary goal for our kid to be an upstanding citizen who's honorable and who runs a successful business and who's a person who is in a place of maybe leadership or some of those things? No. And of course, in the worldly sense, what is the ultimate goal? We want to make our kids good citizens. That's not enough. That falls short. The most important goal is this, that our children love, serve, follow, and give their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every other goal is secondary. Every other goal is secondary. And the thing is, our kids know what the priorities are. We don't have to tell them. We can tell them, the Lord is first, Lord, the Lord is most important. But if everything in our life shows that the Lord is secondary, they're going to take what we do over what we say. If our children attain all the earthly goals, but not the highest goal, the first goal, what is the profit in all the others? Who cares if they're a good citizen? Who cares? It's all going to burn up. It is all vanity. Every bit of it is temporary. Every bit of it. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What does the Bible say? Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Everything else doesn't matter. Everything else is ultimately just temporary. But if all of those things are our primary goal, we're missing the mark. And often parents maximize earthly goals and minimize biblical and spiritual goals. The last thing is this, the measure of success. You know, to be honest with you, I'm just speaking honestly here. The measure of success is not really how your children turn out. Because as I said, you got David and Solomon as an example. Look at your own self. You have a perfect father. You have parents that are impeccable, perfect in every way. And have you been a perfect success? No. Have you walked away from the Lord and disobeyed Him? Yes. I know I have. So I'm not going to be a perfect child, and I haven't been, yet I have a perfect father. So we can't, that's not the measure of success. Although we all want to see our children succeed spiritually, we want that, we long for that, we pray for that, and you should. But the real measure of success is this. Did I teach diligently my children the ways of God, to love God, and to know God? And did I provide an example of that very thing to them? That's the kind of combined picture of the Scripture. That is success. Influences might come in and it might do harm. That's true. That's why we pray. That's spiritual warfare. We pray to protect them. Influences come in and might do some harm like that. And sometimes kids go astray because of the influence of Satan or things in this world, whatever the case might be. But here's the thing. The measure of success is, did you do the will of God toward your children? That's the measure. We must commit to praying for our children, not for just earthly success and health, and we want all that, but for them above everything else, for them to love and fear the Lord all their days. That is all that matters. Let's pray.